Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. I come from a line of women who grow things. My mother's garden is currently bursting with lilies, and the purple coneflowers and daisies are beginning to open. When I was a child, my grandmother always had a vegetable garden, and we would pick cucumbers and green beans, and my favorites, cherry tomatoes. She has a patio garden now at her apartment in Florida, where she is currently tending to pots of orchids and pepper plants and Christmas cacti. Our own fellow minister and parishioner here at Grace, Jerry Croteau, as many of us know, is an abundant sower and planter of green and flowering things. And our parish garden in front of Grace is beautifully tended by him. This week, Jerry asked if he could show me something in the garden, something he described as a kind of a miracle. I am always up for looking at flowers and for miracles. So I met him outside of the church, masked and at a distance, and he pointed out these amazing groups of Easter lilies in full bloom at different spots in the garden. Jerry explained that although he always plants some every year, it is extremely rare for Easter lilies to bloom here in Massachusetts. And I thought, how beautiful. And yes, it does feel like a miracle. How beautiful in this time, in this year of so much death and grief and sadness, to have this sign of resurrection, this Eastering, here in front of Grace. So if you have a chance to stop by and see these lilies, our parish Easter garden in July, I highly recommend it. When we hear and listen to Jesus's parable of the sower this morning, maybe it brings to mind people in our own lives who plant and grow things and the abundance of what they have planted. These connections that we make with our own lives when we hear one of Jesus's parables, they're not random or coincidental. Jesus taught by telling parables because he knew that his disciples, his listeners, us, would relate to the story and make these connections. One of my seminary professors of New Testament, the Reverend Dr. Bill Brosend, offers this definition of a parable: a metaphor or simile drawn from nature or common life, which arrests the hearer by its vividness or strangeness, and leaves the mind in doubt about the precise application. Parables, Dr. Brosend says, tease our minds into active thought. Jesus taught in parables on purpose, so that the hearers could make connections in the story with their own lives, and then puzzle out potential meanings of the story based on those connections. Sometimes our gospel writers offer us a partial interpretation of a parable, as is the case today at the end of our passage from Matthew. But these interpretations are just one piece of the potential meaning of a parable. So, let us enter the parable of the sower. The connection, or hook, that Jesus uses to lure us in is this image of a sower scattering seeds abundantly. Jesus lived in a farming society, so everyone in his day who heard this parable would be able to identify with this image of someone scattering seeds. Also, Jesus' choice of the word sower was very specific, because in his Jewish tradition, the Hebrew prophets, like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea, all use the word and image of sowing seeds to refer to doing the work of God. So by using the word sower, Jesus is aligning himself with the Jewish prophets and placing himself among them. And he's also signaling that this is not just a story about someone scattering seeds, but rather a metaphor and symbol for something larger, a metaphor for sowing God's work in the world. Today, here in the south coast of Massachusetts, the connection or hook for us into this parable could also be the farming image. And it could also be what we talked about a few minutes ago, people in our lives who are sowers and growers of gardens and plants. So now that Jesus has hooked us with this beautiful image of humans who literally grow plants, flowers, fruits, vegetables in abundance, let's expand that and think of humans who are abundantly sowing the work of God in the world in other ways. Because one way of reading this parable is that God is the sower, or that Jesus is the sower, which is a perfectly fine interpretation. Jesus sows the word and work of God in the world, and we try to be the good ground on which it falls. And there's another interpretation, and this is the one I'm most interested in exploring together today. What if we are the sower? The text certainly leaves open both possibilities. Jesus never says who the sower is. So what if we are called to be the sowers of God's word and work in the world? What if Jesus is calling us to wildly and abundantly scatter the seeds of God's kingdom, knowing that sometimes those seeds will fall on rocky or thorny soil, and that sometimes those seeds will fall on good soil and grow and bloom in ways we cannot imagine or foresee? An important thing here, then, is that we not spend all our time worrying about finding the good soil. The point in our work, according to this parable, is to abundantly scatter and sow the seeds of God's kingdom. God will take care of the growing and tending. It may feel strange to speak of abundantly sowing during a pandemic, during this time when what we see growing around us is sickness and division and death. Fred Rogers, also known as Mr. Rogers, advises us when times are difficult to look for the helpers, to look for the people who are helping others and bringing healing. So let's tweak this a bit today. Let's look for the sowers. And let's think about how we might be sowers. What might it look like to be a sower, an abundant scatterer of God's work, right here and now? Here at Grace Church, on Wednesdays and Fridays, Martha's Pantry volunteers gather to unload, organize, pack, and distribute food to local individuals and families who struggle with food insecurity. And on Sunday mornings, volunteers gather to cook and serve members of our community, housed and unhoused, as they gather for community breakfast, to have a meal with one another. Right now, it's a to-go meal, socially distanced, outside. Our Martha's Pantry and community breakfast volunteers and donors who carry out and support these ministries are sowers. They cannot see or know the results of their work. They cannot know or see the effects of their sowing, whether the children they help feed will be better able to focus and learn because they have breakfast in the mornings, or whether the food and fellowship they provide will bring nourishment and healing to those who need it. Our volunteers and donors show up for these and so many other ministries at Grace, and they sow, trusting that God is managing the long work of what comes after that sowing, that God will use good soil and our abundance of sowing to bring new life. Another example of what abundantly sowing God's work looks like in our current context is the work Jesus calls us to do in dismantling and transforming unjust structures like systemic racism. In this case, we might be called to join the sowers who are educating themselves about systemic racism through discussions and book groups. We might feel called to join the sowers who are marching and protesting in the streets, or the sowers donating to organizations that work to end systemic racism, or the sowers who are having tough conversations with friends and loved ones. Can we, especially those of us who are white, see the moments when we know we should speak with someone, especially another white person, about systemic racism? Can we see those moments not just as risky or difficult or uncomfortable, but also as opportunities, even as mandates, to speak up and to be sowers of God's work? Because we as Christians are mandated to speak and to act against systems of injustice. This is Jesus' mandate, his command to love our neighbor. And to fully love our neighbor, we must be sowers of God's word and work of justice. This kind of sowing is hard. I say that as a white person. It can be hard and uncomfortable to have these conversations with other white people. Maybe especially hard to have them with the people who are closest to us. Part of why it's uncomfortable is because it's countercultural to give something up for someone else. It's countercultural for those of us who are white to give up our comfort and our privilege in order to support and center the voices and flourishing of our neighbors of color. When we are uncomfortable, we can look to Jesus to show us the way. Jesus, who gives up everything as he lays down his very life with and for us. There's hope in this difficult sowing, because I see that today it's a little less countercultural for white people to engage in these uncomfortable conversations than it was a month ago. There's hope when we are all willing to be sowers of God's transforming love. When we engage in conversations with others about systemic racism and the importance of dismantling it, another part of why it feels uncomfortable and risky is that we don't know whether our words will fall on rocky soil or thorny soil, or good soil. If our words are not received well initially, we won't be able to see a few days or weeks or months down the road when that small seed that was sown through our conversation might take sprout and grow into an awareness of injustice and a change of mind and heart. Sometimes it will, and sometimes it won't. That's the long work of God. But the parable of the sower tells us that it's our work to sow, to keep sowing abundantly with the seeds we have to offer right here where we are. God uses it all, grows it all, tends to it all, bringing transformation and new life in ways we cannot imagine, in ways we might not see in our lifetimes. We trust that this is true because we have seen it and felt it in the life, the ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We sow in times of Good Friday because we trust that God is always tending and growing an Easter garden.